Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute in the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And we are starting today off with a kiss and ending with a knife.
That's right. There's a knife on the ground. And it's important somehow.
It is somehow very important. It's a knife that we've seen before, though.
So. Ooh, yeah.
Yes. But first, it started out with a kiss.
How did it end up with a knife?
God damn it. God damn it.
I refuse.
I had that in my notes. I was like, Zach's going to love this.
Denied.
You're a bitch. At the end of yesterday's episode, we were talking about how Paul and Chani were starting to, you know, embrace each other, get in super close for a kiss. And then what does Chani do but grab Paul by the back of the head and just fucking stab him in the gut?
Well, hold, please.
Holding.
So they go in for the kiss, but the stabbing is a completely different shot.
It's still the same.
It's dream not the sequence, same. Though. It's not the same. It's the same dream sequence, sure. But they are clearly like apart from each other, not embraced in a kiss.
I
watched it a couple of times to make sure I wasn't going crazy.
I did too, but I think that that's simply just like a logistics of camera movements, and they had to like reframe the cameras for that part of the shot.
That could be the real world explanation for it.
Yes.
My in-universe explanation for it is that Paul is seeing multiple futures right now.
Which is also, and frankly, most likely,
yeah,
the way that it is.
So he's seeing all these things that could happen based off his actions in the now.
Yep.
So the kiss was one of them. Her just coming up to him and, you know, shanking him is one of them. So we're seeing all these different like paths.
I don't see her just coming up to him and shanking him, though. Like, I still think it's that embrace, but rather than the embrace ending with the kiss, it ends with the step. Either way, point is that you're probably right with the diverging timelines,
yeah,
kind of thing that could be happening based off of Paul's actions. Welcome to choose your own adventure.
Which is, that's kind of what the rest of
Paul's. Choose your own adventure, but Paul's going through and he's like, all right, I'm going to go to page 37. Oh, no, I don't like that ending. Let me go back and go to page 42. Never mind. I like page 37 better. And then he's cheating on the Choose Your Own Adventures books.
That's kind of what the rest of Paul's life is like, though.
Yes.
So I saw these as two different, like the same vision, sure, but like two different possible outcomes or like threads that stretch off into the future that could happen.
Sure.
So that's why it felt a little disconnected to me.
And Paul even goes so far as to say, hey, it's confusing.
Yeah. Right.
He just straight up says to Jessica, it's confusing. I thought I saw my death, only it wasn't. I know a knife is important somehow.
Yep.
Before we continue on with what Paul was saying, I just want to pause because there's a really cool shot where we see just the super bloodied knife and everything, but we also get a chance to see it in really cool detail, but we also get to see the still suit in really cool detail. So I'll start with the knife. I don't know if you noticed, but the knife has like circular carvings in the side of it.
Like in the side of the blade?
Yeah. There's a bunch of like circular carvings and stuff in it. Yeah, it's super cool looking.
Not like a Damascus forged steel kind of thing.
No, like an actual like etching in the side of it.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Which would make sense because, you know, it's bone.
Yeah, these aren't forged.
Yeah. I mean, is bone forged?
Crafted. They're crafted, not forged. Technically, no, they're not forged.
I mean, it's forged by Shai Hulud. But what's the difference between forging and growing?
I don't think he smelts his teeth down. I think there's actually a big difference.
I'm being deliberately obtuse here.
It's because I ruined your joke earlier?
Yes.
Okay.
Fuck you. It's the same knife that, or it looks to be the same knife that Shoutout Mapes gave Jessica earlier.
Okay.
Just based off of the handle. I don't know if that's just standard, though, for...
I don't think we've seen enough of them at this point to really make a call.
The only Chris knives that we have seen have been sheathed and like kind of just off in the distance on Fremen in background of other visions and stuff. Like when Paul saw Duncan Idaho just chilling with the Fremen. But we get to see the stillsuit in some extra detail as well. You can see what look like, you know, tubes or veins all along the inside of the thigh pads. And I believe those are the tubes where the urine and feces are processed.
It's got to be. It's got to be. That's where they're processed, the thigh pads.
Where else would they be processed? but you like you can probably you can see how it would be used for like cooling and stuff as well. I don't know. It's just it's one of those things that you see and it's like, oh shit, like there's a lot of detail put into this because they very easily could have just been like black pants and here's a leather harness thing that goes over them.
Yeah.
Call it a day.
So after the stabbing, we get a couple of things that, and I love when movies do this. They show like what Paul's seeing and what we're seeing kind of like in line with each other. What you were you talked about this yesterday. And as he gets stabbed, that's when he falls or drops down to his knees.
Correct.
And we saw that in real life outside.
We see, going back to our explanation from yesterday, Walker Paul. Not Paul Walker. Walker Paul also fall to his knees in that moment. And that's the moment when I was watching this and I was like, oh shit, like, do I need to take these files and like put them side by side and play them both at the same time to see if they actually line up and everything? Because you have the Kwisatz Haderach, which you hear when we're at the Walker scene, and when you have them fall. So like, do those line up? And that's what I was.
I think, I think a lot of it does line up. I mean, that would be not a, not an easy thing to do editing wise, but a worthwhile thing to do.
You know, some editor was just like, this is for me.
Absolutely. And Paul like brings his hand up and it's just like covered in blood. And that's the moment that we, if we go back to standing outside the sandcrawler, he's like picks up the sand and lets it like kind of fall through his hand. It's that same moment. So no, I love the going back and forth between the two. You know, it's nothing unique to this movie. Other movies have done it in the past. Still love it. It's great. Give it to me.
Vision Paul and Walker Paul both seem to be doing the same thing, just different circumstances.
And they both make sense, though. Like, it there's like context that makes them both make sense.
So. And then we hard cut to one of my favorite shots of the entire movie, which is Lady Jessica sitting in an alcove with a bunch of like Chocobsa writing carved into the walls around her. She's got what I would assume is Chocobsa, like also not tattooed.
It's tattooed.
Definitely like written on her face as well.
Once we get to that point later in the movie, like that, or I guess that's the next movie is when we see it, but
she is the Reverend Mother at this point.
And that does not go away.
Cool.
Yeah, no, those are like for sure tattoos.
Do you think that she originally was like, I just want to get a teardrop, but then it was like, nah, whole face.
I mean,
Mike Tyson.
She would have earned the teardrop.
Yeah, definitely. But I don't know, like it's so cool, just like that shot of her in that little alcove, eyes of Ibad, tattooed face, Chocobsa carved into the walls. She's in that meditative pose and there's just the Chris knife in front of her.
It's a really,
and that is that one for sure is the Chris knife that Shadout gave her.
Yeah.
Because we see the sheath on it and it's got that same marking on the sheath as well.
Good. I'm glad she kept it. In that shot, I noticed the sheath scabbard, whatever you want to call it. I was paying more attention to the handle at this point. Like the cool like bone and metal crafting of the handle. Love that. It looks so good.
So watched that and then went back to the start of the minute when Paul got stabbed by Chani. It's the same handle.
Okay.
So to your point, it could just be, you know, a standard handle that they make, or it could be the knife.
Yeah.
We don't really know.
You don't know yet.
I think they're different because if I'm looking, like I have screenshots of both of them in my notes here. The knife that Chani's holding kind of has like a forward curve to it almost, whereas the one that Shadout gave Jessica is just a straight blade.
Gotcha.
But also,
I mean, that could be Chinese personal knife, you know? It seems like most Fremen have one. So yeah, maybe that's just her personal one.
Yeah. Well, she can put it away. It's got blood on it.
That's true.
So
yep. She's legally allowed to put it back into a sheath. yeah, and then the last line that we get. Oh, sorry. No, we got a few more lines. Paul says, someone will hand me a blade. We get the shot of the sheath knife on the ground.
Yep.
He says, but I don't know who, when, or where. Now, that was, I took this in two meanings. I took it literally saying someone is literally going to hand him a knife.
Yep.
Doesn't know when. I also took it a little bit more metaphorically, saying a blade being kind of a stand-in for
an army.
Weapons. Yeah. Just some kind of tool. Yep. Right. So I think we're starting to get to the point where Paul is seeing further and further, I think, into his own future and to like using the Fremen as a weapon.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it was good dialogue. I didn't see it in the books anywhere when I was like skimming through the pages. Really good dialogue for the movie though. And just a good double entendre.
We're just going to do a casual jihad.
Yeah. Just a casual.
We end the minute with this line. Some things, though, are crystal clear. I can feel it.
Yep. That did technically go over the line just a smidge, the I can feel it part. But
he starts the word it.
I know. I wondered if you were going to say the whole thing or not, because I have the whole thing written in my notes, too. Yeah. No sense in just leaving off that one syllable. But yeah, I can feel it.
I'm not that much of an asshole.
Rules are rules.
But yeah, we're back to bedroom Paul here.
Yep. That's right.
That's where our minute ends.
It is. Yeah. Like I said yesterday, from the book's perspective, this is just stuff that has been taken from a later vision that he has. So nothing new, from the books, for this one. So we're kind of just repurposing scenes from later in the book. So all of this still exists in some form or fashion, just not right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is where my notes end.
Same for me. It's a cool minute.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Paul's prescience is really kicking into high gear here.
It is.
Yeah. I think it's cool that we get more than just like a couple seconds flash here and there of his visions, and he's like actually really starting to have this ability unlock.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, let's get back to the real world tomorrow. I think we're done with this vision for now.
Yep. Not yet.
Okay, that's true. We got a little bit more.
Got just a smidge.
Yep.
But tomorrow we've got quite an episode, so feel free to come on back. We will be here as usual every weekday. If you want to find us elsewhere, you can on Instagram at the Dune Minute. We're on Twitter at Dune Minute, and you can email duneminute@gmail.com.
That's right. All right, cool. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
See you later.